Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Kiel Boston King Sports Extravaganza, part of the Bucky's fifth quarter. Hey, I'm the Polish Rifle, Kyle Wazinski. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Jake Kokorowski, award-winning author and media superstar.
Oh, boy.
But it's a weird time of the year. I mean, you know, it's one of people's favorite times of the year. Because you have NFL free agency, you have the start of Major League Baseball, you have the NBA playoffs. But for the next couple of weeks, everybody's life is going to be consumed by March Madness. So, Jake, before we get into that, how's everything going in your world?
Going well. Happy to be back on. And it's going to be weird for Wisconsin fans. We talked about it last week, right, Scotty? And not just Wisconsin fans, but Marquette fans, Milwaukee Panther fans, Green Bay Phoenix fans. These are... There's no Wisconsin team that has a fighting, shot in March Madness in the NCAA tournament. However, Marquette is in the NIT, and so they play a game. I think it was tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. So,
Wednesday against Harvard.
Oh, Harvard, sorry. At the Al McGuire Center, if I'm not mistaken. And, it will be interesting to see. I mean, I watched the selection show, and let's kick it off with you right off the bat, Scotty, on that, where... In your opinion, did you watch the selection show? One, and if you did, do you have any opinion about them going alphabetically first, and then assigning the brackets later?
I didn't watch the selection show because it's garbage. It's been garbage for about 5 years. I think it's a joke and I think they make a joke out of it by having Charles Barkley and
I love Charles.
And, he follows very little of the NCAA game, and it kind of makes a mockery of the fact that he knows so little and basically goes out of his way to take jabs and kind of crap all over it. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. Now, I did not watch it, though, but I was checking Twitter through the whole thing because I wanted to see if Marquette may have gotten in. Obviously, not only did they not get in, they end up getting a number two seed in the NIT. Things didn't break well for them, though. Davidson winning might have been the final nail in the coffin because Rhode Island was going to get in no matter what. So Davidson getting in, Alabama having a decent run, though at 19-15, I just don't get that. But anyway, so it's an interesting draw, though, and I think we can, I'd like to kind of get right into it when we talk about the brackets because. There's a few brackets that look really strong, like there are every year, and then there's some that are literally anybody's game. So I don't know where do you want to stay? Is there a region in particular you want to go to?
Well, because of the Wisconsin connection, let's talk Tony Bennett. Let's talk the South with Virginia, the number one team in the nation, and their battles. And they got a pretty tough bracket, and especially with the likes of facing an Arizona squad. Potentially down the road, in that Elite Eight showdown. But I'm really intrigued to see how a team like that will stand out. I mean, but let's start off the South. You're also looking at like a potential, was it a 5-12 matchup between Miami and Loyola Chicago, which is intriguing. Let's start off with that. Like, who do you think comes out of the South?
Okay, I took Arizona. In that one. And I know that Virginia is the top team in the land. It's hard to watch, but I'm feeling good about Arizona. I like Loyola as an upset to win in the first round, maybe even go two rounds in. But that being said, I took a final in that region of Cincinnati losing to Arizona advancing. So I think Arizona knocks out Virginia. But it is, you're right, one of the two really tough brackets, I think, this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at Virginia. I just like the way that they're playing right now. And, the fact that, it'll be interesting to see who comes out of Creighton and Kansas State in the 8-9 matchup. And then even if, I'm intrigued to see, Miami, Loyola, Illinois is not the 5-12, the 6-11. I apologize for that. And
6-11,
then,
yeah.
And then... Kentucky and Davidson are 5-12 are the 5-12 matchups. Which Davidson, the way that they upset. Kentucky's playing well of late, and then you come in and then you see Davidson and what they did to get into the tournament. I will, Kentucky, and then Arizona takes them. I'll take Virginia, despite how tough Arizona can be, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Bennett will do something with that defense that'll lock down. I know it's hard to watch per se, but Bennett, I think Virginia takes it. I think they head and they represent the South. Now let's look at the West. Let's go. Number one seed is Xavier, and then you got the 8-9 matchup, Missouri and Florida, number nine Florida State, and interesting 5-12 matchup, yeah. Ohio State and then San Diego State. I'm just looking down here too, and then North Carolina's the two. This one's tough.
Yeah. I got North Carolina coming out of here. The thing is, I think Xavier could get to the regional final, or they could get beat by Missouri in the second round. That's kind of how I see it. I think Missouri is a little bit of a sleeper. I think Gonzaga beats Ohio State in the second round, and but I think UNC comes out of this thing at the end of it. I like San Diego State perhaps in that upset in that 6-11 game. That's one I'll be watching and interested in, but. But I think we see North Carolina. In my bracket, I've got North Carolina coming out.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin lost to Xavier earlier in the year in that, and that was at the Gavitt Games. And, granted, they pulled away late in that 10-point win. I'm not sold. I like how Michigan's playing, and obviously there's a little bit of Big Ten bias because we were part of Bucky's fifth quarter, and we've had a chance to watch them, and I got to see them in person live in that loss that Wisconsin had to them at the Kohl Center a few Sundays ago. It's either North Carolina or Michigan for me, in my opinion. Whoever wins I think Michigan beats Montana. I believe they beat Houston. And then, I think that sets up Michigan and North Carolina. I'll just, for contrarian's sake, I'll go Michigan just because they've gotten hot, and I feel this team, can do something come postseason. Let's go Midwest. Let's circle the wagon over here. Go in some counterclockwise action. Kansas.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting when at least the way I have it coming out. The final four in this bracket is going to be kind of crazy. You mentioned they were going to say Kansas is number one. They should survive Penn, or they will, and then their take on the win is Seton Hall, North Carolina. Here's where I'm struggling, because I got Kansas coming out to the Sweet 16. I'm trying to decide the winner of the Clemson-Auburn game, at least what I'm perceiving will be the Clemson-Auburn game, because I haven't really seen a lot of Auburn, I'll be honest with you. I've seen a little bit of Clemson, and I liked the way Clemson played, but so I've got Clemson advancing to Sweet 16, but I don't know if you feel differently about that.
Yeah, I got Kansas going at least Elite Eight in this, and I'm not too sure on Clemson and New Mexico State. I know I've seen some of the bracket predictions, even from like Sports Illustrated, having two different, having the winners come out there, and even our friends at SB Nation, the mothership, if you will. Overall they take Michigan State over Duke, but that's disappointing. They didn't actually have the full bracket that they picked out, so I could confirm that stuff. But no, I think Kansas isn't like the Elite Eight. And then I think Michigan State, despite them, losing in the Big Ten tournament, they're regular season champions, even though they didn't play necessarily well against Wisconsin. Granted, Wisconsin was a much more improved team than what they were the last 2 weeks of the season, compared to what they were back in January when they got blown out, over in East Lansing. I will say,
yeah.
That one's tough. Duke and then Michigan State, right? Those two definitely.
That would be in that half of the bracket, right? To playing Kansas.
Yeah.
I'm taking Duke over Michigan State. I'm also taking TCU to lose to whoever wins the play-in game. I know they hate calling it the play-in game, but that's what it is. So do you think are you taking Michigan State to come out? Are you taking Kansas?
I'll take Michigan State. I think Duke somehow pulls this all off. Those Wisconsin fans that follow, I know they won't be too happy with me. I think Duke somehow pulls this all out. Just with what they. Yeah, I'll stick with Duke. I gotta go with Duke on this one.
Listen, people can be angry all you want. It was a down year for the Big Ten. I mean, it really was. I mean, especially in non-conference play, it was one of those years. It happens sometimes. Yep. But I've been kind of sketchy. My whole bracket, I got Michigan State going Elite Eight. I got Purdue going Elite Eight. But that's about as far as I have any Big Ten school going. So let's stay here. Let's go to the East. Villanova's the one seed. An overrated Alabama's in there as well. Purdue's a two seed. I think I've already kind of given it away. I've got Villanova against Purdue in the Elite Eight. I'm taking Villanova. But, yeah, like I said, that's about as far as I've got my Big Ten bracket.
Yeah, no, I got my – I mean, I just think Purdue with – you know, I think with their schedule late in the season and then having a little bit of that break like they had, like that week off in the Big Ten tournament, I think will actually help them. There's some seniors on that squad. Overall, I'm just looking at that group right now. I think Butler wins the 7-10 matchup against Arkansas, but Purdue beats them. I'm going Purdue. I'll say an upset over Villanova. Right. And then, yeah, because, I mean, to me, like the top, you know, I think Michigan State and Purdue have the shot to be Final Four teams. Now, is that going to happen?
You got two of them. You got two of them in
right.
This,
and if it wasn't for Duke, I'd probably say Michigan State over Kansas. But I just don't. I think with Bagley and then Grayson Allen, every Badger's favorite player, I just think Duke takes it there over Sparty. But I think Purdue is good. Yeah, I think there's a senior leadership there. I think they know the times there. And they had, you know, both Carson and Vincent Edwards. You got Isaac Haas. You got Matthias as well as a shooter. I believe in the Boilermakers at this point.
All right, so in the Final Four, I've got Arizona versus North Carolina, Duke against Villanova. I'm taking Carolina and Villanova to advance into the final game. You've got Virginia versus Michigan and Duke versus Purdue. Who is your championship game?
I mean, the championship game, it'll be Virginia versus Duke in an ACC rematch. And I think I'll take Virginia to win it all. In that end. What about you?
I'm taking Villanova over Carolina in what I think is going to be a really good championship game.
Should be very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, bada bing, bada boom. And we'll see how wrong
we are. It's interesting. We only have one similar team in the Final Four, that's Duke, and we don't have any of the same teams even playing in the championship game.
I think that's somehow that speaks to the volatility of this, you know, like especially this season.
But maybe I felt this year was maybe a little bit more predictable, only because I couldn't find any, like, I found a couple. I shouldn't say any, but there weren't those like those 6, 7, 8 seeds that screamed at me like, "Hey, this team has a chance to be a Final Four team." You know what I mean?
Right.
Now volatility maybe in the top 4 seeds in each region. But I think beyond that top 16, there was nothing that was that stood out to me and made me a believer. Arizona being a 4 seed is the only real surprise I have, because I got Duke and North Carolina at 2 seeds, Villanova as a 1. Like, you know, every year it seems like there's a lower seed that creeps in there, but I just couldn't find it this year. And even in your case, you've got Purdue's a 2. Duke's a 2, Virginia's a 1. I think your lowest seed that you selected was Michigan.
And a 3, yeah.
They were, So, I mean, so you're right maybe about the parity in the top 16, but below that, it was just really hard for me to find somebody that I thought could be the surprise or the Cinderella.
I'll agree with you on that. And maybe it's top heavy where, you know, the top 12 or 16 teams could have that possibility, but after that, it's not going to be, we don't see a team coming around and causing trouble and disrupting brackets.
Now one probably is going to, but I guess. Right. But I can't seem to put my finger on who I think that's going to be.
That's fair. Definitely fair there. So, but yeah, we'll see. And obviously the play-in games start tomorrow night, recording on Monday. So check back then. I would say, you know, obviously we'll put this up by tonight or early tomorrow. So do not miss out on that. And then, you know, anything else you want to talk about? Any of the snubs, you know, NIT at all? No, Penn State's a 4 seed and Nebraska's a 5 seed in the NIT.
Yeah, the NIT, I'm interested. Obviously, you've got a rooting interest in Marquette. I'm interested to see how some of the teams, because you know what happens every year? The teams that felt like they got snubbed oftentimes lay an egg in the NIT tournament. So, I'm you know, because they feel like they're not playing for what they thought their ultimate goals should have been, right? So it's always interesting to watch. I hate when people say, well, it's just the next 32 teams. No, a lot of those top-tier NIT teams, if they didn't have the automatic bids for winning your conference tournament, they'd be there in the NCAA tournament. So, I get it. Winning the NCAA tournament is far more impressive and important, but I'd rather win an NIT than get stuck playing a play-in game in Dayton and losing. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, I'll be interested. I'll have a casual eye to it, but other than that, other than, you know, maybe Marquette and Penn State. I mean, I think those are the two schools that I'll be most interested in keeping an eye on.
Absolutely. So no, we'll check back then next week after the dust settles, after the first weekend. I know at my day job, I've already set up a March Madness projection screen. Going to be set up for both a couple of our sites. So hopefully people enjoy passing by or even going on their lunch break and watching the madness that is March. And oh gosh, yeah. Let's turn real quick to baseball before we let you go. Right? We got.
Okay, yeah. Let me just tell you how mad I am at the Brewers and how disappointed I am in this franchise right now. How disappointed I am that they got everybody excited enough to come out to Brewers on Deck by making two big moves, did nothing to address his pitching staff, and then watch Lance Lynn sign a 1 year, $12 million deal that is very little risk to the Minnesota Twins. Because if the Twins are out of it by you know July, they can trade away him and half his salary for prospects. The fact that the Brewers allowed a signing like that to happen and didn't feel like it was necessary and feeling like the pitching staff, which we talked about last week, was good to go, really disappoints me. It frustrates me as a fan and as an observer and a professional who covers baseball. It's a head scratcher.
Yeah, the Lynn signing, I agree with. Arrieta for the 3 years, $25 million a year. I mean, I know, I think the way that I was reading, like, just some of the reports, was it like $30 million, $25 and $20 for that? And then it could extend up to a five-year contract that could be in the, what's it, like the $125-ish million range. Like, I'm okay with that. I don't know if Brewer fans would have.
No, I'm okay with that. I am. So here's my thought. Here's how you make this right. You take that $25 million a year, you take Lynn's $12 million a year, you divide that, add it up and divide it by two, that comes out to about $17.5 million. You go and you offer Cobb a two-year $17.5 million contract and you make this right.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need to. Right now, the way the rotation out with Jimmy Nelson still out, they need to make sure that they get... I think they need another pitcher, obviously, and we all agree upon that.
If they get Cobb, then they will have a Cobb and Nelson, just like the Green Bay Packers. So there you go. It's meant to be.
Well, at least for now, depending upon what happens with the salary cap. With NFL free agency coming up in just, less than 2 days, with the legal tampering period upon us.
Cue the crickets up in Green Bay.
Hey, there are some reports out there. You know, whether or not it's agents blowing steam in ears to get things going. And, I mean, honestly, it is a... Yeah, we'll see, but there are reports, I think it was Ian Rappaport, saying that the Packers were interested in both Sammy Watkins and Allen Robinson at wide receiver. There's been reports out there about Jimmy Graham, even though it seems like the needle is potentially pointing towards the New Orleans Saints. I'm looking at this up right
now.
Because of the reuniting with but it sounds like, looking at this, who was it? It was Mike Garofalo talking about Green Bay and Graham's names being linked together. And then
The thing is, they need to make some signings, whether it's at those positions you discussed or at cornerback, just kicking the tires. You know, the Brewers kicked the tires on pitchers too. What did that get
right.
them? I don't. I'm so jaded right now because of the way this offseason went since January to now that I don't want to hear that the Packers are kicking tires. They need to make some signings. And they need to keep this window, this ever-closing window for their quarterback. They need to keep this a chance for him to maybe get one more Super Bowl run. So we'll see.
Yeah,
Again, you know, obviously, as I said, I've just been frustrated by by all of this. So.
well, and then, I mean, with NFL Network, just as a clarification to Ian Rappaport, it sounds like, and if you guys go to acmepackingcompany.com or SB Nation cousins that cover the Green Bay Packers, you know, Rappaport apparently said that, you know, who Packers could be a player in the race, quote unquote, to, you know, to sign Allen Robinson. So it sounds like it's more speculation than, you know, or, you know, or he wouldn't be surprised, if you will, if he would sign. So big thanks to, you know, to Tex Western on that. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously cornerback's the biggest name, and we'll see who they are linked to coming up, and we'll obviously talk more with that. And I feel that, you know, we should have Tex Western on probably in the next couple of weeks just to break it all down for everybody. And then, you know, spring football starts up tomorrow. I'll be down there for Bucky's fifth quarter. And, you know, this is the start of spring football. And on our Bucky's Fifth podcast, we'll talk about some of the spring roster additions and subtractions and any type of modifications. We'll have that on with Owen Reese coming up probably tomorrow. We'll break down everything and go from there as we head into Pro Day, which is on Wednesday then. And both
Wow.
Owen and I will be down there at Camp Randall inside the McLean Center to watch various Badgers run and who shows up and who shines for probably, you know, like last year, I think there was about 30 NFL scouts, 28 or 30 NFL scouts. So I'm expecting around the same this year with this
Well,
crop.
you live the jet set exciting life, I'll tell you.
Oh yeah! Oh gosh! Yeah. Hey, anytime we get to see Ted Thompson in person, right?
It's
He
like
was there
going to
last
the
year.
it's like going to the combine and watching a bunch of guys in shorts and jumping around. I'm like, ooh, I love how our good friend Jason Moody describes the fun and frivolity of all that. But I guess the only other thing I had, I guess I'm looking through my notes here and I forgot about this. I wanted to say, although I feel like I might be in the minority here, I am very excited. I was very excited to see Tiger Woods go down to the wire and almost win a tournament. I'm sorry. I think it's kind of cool.
No,
So.
I don't think you're in the minority about that. You should have seen Twitter light up, my friend. People were very excited, I think, to see, you know, play one of the best, you know, one of the best ever to play. You know, have a resurgence, have a renaissance, and come back and come within a shot of going to a playoff against Paul Casey.
You know, it was interesting this weekend. So you had him there at the top of the leaderboard. You had a Venus versus Serena final in a tennis tournament, and you had the Bucks sign Brandon Jennings. I thought we had gone back in time about 8 years. I'm like, what year is it again?
Exactly.
But
Bucks and six.
all good things. So.
Indeed, indeed. On that note, folks, you know, short abbreviated podcast, not talking about what we're used to, we're about 20, 25 minutes in. And, anything else, brother, before we take it home?
No, I think it's time to call it a day.
Alright, well, thank you all for listening. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at KilbasaKingsWY. Follow Bucky's Fifth Quarter at B5Q. Scotty's at ScottWizMusk2, and I am at JakeCoco, KocoB5Q. We'll come back next week, break down March Madness one more time, as and see how right or wrong we were with our picks. And then we'll head into, we'll talk more, hopefully, spring training. We'll talk more Brewers. We'll talk some Bucks, and we'll see what else is going down in spring football. So thanks, guys, for listening. For the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski, this is Jay Kokorowski. We'll see you next week here on the Kielbasa Kings Sports Extravaganza.